The unflustered rhythm of Ray Lynch's Clouds Below Your Knees marks 10 o'clock Thursday. It is time for So What's Your Story? The only program originating in Houston that is devoted entirely to storytelling right here on Commercial Free, listener-sponsored KPFT 90.1 FM. It's the coolest place on your dial, where we spotlight a variety of tellers from starters to stars who share at least one thing in common. Each is an extraordinary person who takes us on profound and sometimes fanciful journeys with remarkable stories, from heart-rending narratives to enchanting folk tales, and then return us safely to the present. I'm your host, Dr. Hank Rubicek, professor of communication at the University of Houston downtown, and along with Roxy Russell, charged with work in the boards and stepping in just a bit. You know, everyone is a natural storyteller. I've said that on a number of occasions, and our daily treks are comprised of specks in time, those moments frozen in time, episodes that fill our memories with experiences that ultimately validate our lives. And I've said many times on this show that stories remind us that we matter, that we've touched the lives of others, and that we won't be soon forgotten. We tell stories for more reasons than we can count: to entertain, share, heal, put someone else to sleep. We keep traditions alive, sell ourselves, even create wild, self-promoting yarns on that dating site, knowing that convincing stories will entice. They're going to reel others in and not let them go. Stories force us to listen closely to one another. Most important, I think storytellers evoke responses from people. We cry, laugh, whimper, sigh, gasp, and wonder. We think, and we form impressions about the teller of tales. Just like the positive one Roxy formed about tonight's guest, Brendan Borkshiel. Now, like Rabbi Laura from last week and guests in upcoming weeks, Brendan was ambushed, hassled, and captured by Roxy at the Muff, a very cool event at a very cool venue. It's Stereo Live at 6400 Richmond here in Houston. Now, Brendan writes plays, articles, and stories, both true and fictional. He's contributed pieces to publications that include Cracked.com, Everyday Fiction, The Cynic Magazine, and TheNerdTitan.com, where he's on the on staff of, he's a cinema correspondent, I believe. He loves to craft personal stories like the ones he's going to be sharing tonight. And then when Brendan is finished, we can all send in our votes as to whether Roxy should be allowed to ever go out in the world and find talent again. She's paid absolutely nothing, and I'm going to find a way to pay her less if this sucks tonight. But it's not going to. Brendan, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
This is fabulous. Now, listen, I asked you about some of these websites a little bit earlier, like Cracked.com. Mm-hmm. But what is the NerdTitan.com?
NerdTitan.com is this website for a lot of multivariant nerd interests. I'd say comic books, video games, sci-fi, and it's run by a great group of writers, and I am very privileged to be the movie correspondent there.
Okay, you've got 30 seconds to describe the difference between a nerd and a geek.
Oh, wow. I would say that a nerd is obsessed about anything, and a geek is obsessed with more conventionally scholarly pursuits like academia.
What? What did you say?
I have no idea. Let's move on.
Okay. My God. You sound so intelligent. We didn't expect that. I'm surprised. Roxy doesn't like to talk to people who are too intelligent. They really intimidate her. What prompted your interest in the Moth?
Well, I had been writing stories online for a long time. Mm-hmm. I like doing it, but when you write stories online, you just sort of put them out into the blogosphere, and you don't have a great sense of who's reading them or how they're being received. So it really benefits to sometimes have a live audience to see how your stories are coming across, and the Moth has great audiences.
And it really is a great venue, though, all kidding aside. You go in there, you sign up, you're given 5 minutes at the most to tell a story. What kind of criteria do the judges use?
The basic criteria are the story you tell has to be true. It has to be about you, the teller. Lengthwise, it's got to be about 4 to 6 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You can't read. You have to speak from memory, and then it has to be in keeping with the theme of the night, whatever that is.
Okay, give us examples of some of the themes.
So, like, the first night I went up, the theme was vices. So people told stories about being hoarders. Chris, who you're going to have on later, told a great story about hoarding as her vice, and you have to tell stories.
Well, he's the one who wanted to be on the show for the next 11 years, right? He didn't want anybody else to be on the hoarder.
Yeah, right.
Very good. Yeah. So hoarding. Great. Good. Good themes. Now, how did you come to the art of telling? I know storytelling is something you love. You write a lot. And, of course, you go to the Moth and you get some great audiences. You really do elicit some great feedback. What is it about storytelling? I know it's a hard question because it's so broad. All of us love storytelling. That's why we're here. But in a sentence or two, what is it about storytelling that you think is so very special, that makes you feel good about telling a story and embracing someone with it?
I think the fact that storytelling even exists as a popular art form in this day and age, when we have unlimited access to movies and TV, just so many entertainment options, the fact that people would choose over that to listen to a single person speaking into a microphone means it has to have some special resonance to it. Like when I'm at the Moth, there are routinely a couple hundred people there. And I have to remind myself, they could all be at home binge-watching Netflix now. That would be way easier for them. But for some reason, they chose this.
Yeah, it's a great thing. And as we were talking, I really enjoyed talking with you before the show. And one of the things that I shared with you is that storytelling really does compel us to listen to each other. We have to listen to each other. Now, I know you get a lot of ideas about stories. Give us a sense of where you get some of your ideas.
I'd say most of them are just kind of embarrassing memories that keep running through my head, and I guess I tell them in an attempt to own them rather than have them own me, if that makes sense.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. You know, now your first story is about a prank call to 911 when you were a kid, apparently a juvenile delinquent, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Share the story with us.
So the first time I ever called 911, I was about 9 years old, and I did it from a restaurant payphone. There was no emergency. I just wanted to see if it was free to call. And it is. You can call 911 for free from any payphone. Good to know, right?
Yeah.
So the operator answered. I didn't know what to do. I hung up in a panic, but I felt bad about it. So I made my mom call back on my behalf and apologize. And the operator yelled at her for 5 minutes, told her to tell me that by calling without there being an emergency, I had broken the law. And it was a really serious offense. And I took it seriously. I tried to never call 911 under false pretenses again, and I kept to that for about 2 months. The next time I was at home, it was on a landline, I just impulsively dialed the numbers in to the phone, and I instantly regretted it. I hung up, and the operator got the call anyway and called me back. She asked what my emergency was, and I said, "Oh my God, I'm so sorry. I meant to call my friend, and you're one number away from him on the speed dial." She said, "Who's your friend?" I said, George Archibald Whitman.
Yeah.
I don't have a friend named George Archibald Whitman.
I'm surprised you didn't say Charles Manson or something.
So, she didn't care. She let me go. Mm-hmm. And, I said, okay, I've really got to stop doing this. I've gotten away with it twice. There's no way I'd get away with it a third time. It's a waste of emergency vehicle resources. I've got to stop. Cut to a couple years later, around Christmas time, my whole family is in town. They're in the Woodlands, Texas, and we're mostly staying in my aunt and uncle's house in the Woodlands. And one afternoon, all the adults go out shopping, leaving all the kids, everyone like 12 and under, alone in the house. We're looking for something to do. We're very bored. This is the early 2000s internet with parental controls, so that's not going to work. We find this giant pile of phone cords on the ground, about 30 feet of phone cords, and we decide, let's tie somebody up. So we tie up my cousin Kristen from her ankles to her shoulders in phone cords. And then we need something else to do, so we leave her there, and we find this phone. There's this fax phone in my aunt and uncle's office, a phone dedicated entirely to sending and receiving faxes. So into this phone, I punch the numbers 911, and my cousin says, "Don't do that. That's a terrible idea." I say, "Relax. It's a fax phone. You can't make actual phone calls on a fax phone." It turns out you can make actual phone calls on a fax phone if the number you're calling is 911. What happens is you don't actually hear another person on the other end of the line. You just send the call through and they get it. And since they can't talk to you and they can't assess your emergency, they forego that and they just send a police officer directly to your house. So a couple minutes later, there's a cop downstairs. We all run down to see what's going on, except my cousin Kristen, who's still tied up in phone cords. And in a moment of really self-deluded confidence, I say, "Guys, I got this." And I walk up to the cop and I say, "Good afternoon, officer. I think I can deduce why you're here. It probably has something to do with a 911 call placed from this residence not 5 minutes ago. Great response time, by the way." Unfortunately, that call was a prank. Whoever did it, and as I look over at my cousins to implicate them, whoever did it is, I'm sure, very sorry. But there is no emergency here, certainly nothing that would require your services. Thank you for your time. Sorry for the inconvenience. God bless America.
Is this the way you phrase it at the age of 9?
Basically.
You use words like deduce.
I was Webster, basically,
yeah, okay,
from that show.
Mm-hmm.
So as I'm giving this whole speech about how, we don't need a cop and there's no emergency here, my cousin Kristen, who is still tied up in phone cords, is hopping down the stairs behind me, trying to, like, Houdini herself out of her bindings.
Right.
The cop looks at her. I look at her. He looks at me. I look wide-eyed back at him. And he says, "Okay, you guys be safe." And he gets in his car and he drives away. I regret putting my cousins through that whole ordeal. They bring it up every time they visit me now, but the good thing about it is that after that, I never again prank called 911.
Now, was this a confession that you gave a priest or something? It sounds so real and so serious. You're clearly addicted to 911, right? I mean, obviously.
That was my vice.
That was your vice.
Yeah.
Have you been doing that as an adult?
Have I? No.
I mean, would you tell us the truth?
I think to kids, the idea that there would be this 911 that they tell you about, they just expect you to take on faith.
Mm-hmm.
There is this number,
mm-hmm,
and if you call it, cops will immediately show up at your door. For you to just take that on faith and not try it out is crazy.
Yeah, uh-huh. You're listening to guest teller Brendan Bourque-Scheel share tales about his early criminal activity on So What's Your Story on KPFT 90.1 FM, Houston 89.5 in Galveston and 90.3 in Livingston. This is Hank Rubicek with quintessential sidekick, only one who can tolerate me, Roxy. Now, your next story is based on a dream. It's a common but intriguing catalyst. And how do you use dreams as story seeds, first of all?
Well, in the case of this story, it wasn't even so much a seed. I had the luxury of this dream playing out like a full-blown manifested story. Usually dreams are so fragmentary and disjointed, you can only use them as seeds. You know, they're not assembled by the part of your brain that subscribes to structure. But I was lucky with this one. It just sort of came out fully formed on its own.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. And hence, it's a story.
Yeah.
It just came out as a story, unfolded as a story.
Pretty much.
All right.
So I have this recurring dream where I'm in high school again, and I'm not high school aged.
Well, you kept failing high school. Isn't that why you're in it again?
Of course.
Yeah, okay.
It wasn't challenging enough. So I'm not high school aged in this dream. I'm the age I am now with the life experiences I've had now. So going to college, living by myself. And for some reason, nobody in high school notices that I'm way too old to be there or that I was already in that high school 6 years ago. And the dream always plays out basically the same way. I'm not prepared. I haven't read whatever book we're supposed to have read for English class, which is especially embarrassing now that I have a degree in English. I duck into a classroom to avoid talking about this book that I haven't read. And while I'm in the bathroom, I worry that I'm not going to graduate on time. I worry that I'm going to fail high school. And that's when I realize, wait a minute, I already finished high school in 2008. What am I even doing here? So I try to leave, but there are these hall monitors. And unlike in real high school, in dream high school, the hall monitors really command respect. Like, you really listen to them. They're these 16-year-old kids, but they terrify me. They're just really confident and assertive, and I don't want to confront them. So I have this dream again one night. I go through all the normal paces, not being ready for class, ducking into a bathroom, worrying that I'm not going to graduate on time, realizing that I already graduated. And I get to the part where I realize the only thing that's keeping me here is those hall monitors. So instead of trying to, like, sneak past them or deal with them, I'm just going to walk right past them because they're not within their authority to stop me because I'm not even supposed to be here. So I go back to my dream English class to get my dream stuff, and my English teacher says to me, "Oh, good, Brendan, you're here. We can start our test on Mary Shelley's The Once and Future Gatsby," or whatever. And I say, "Actually, I'm leaving." And instead of looking perturbed, she looks pleasantly surprised, and she goes, "Okay. Class, I have a quick announcement to make. Brendan is leaving." The class falls completely silent. And then out of the silence, one kid slowly starts clapping, and everybody joins in until it's this big applause break. And everybody's really excited, and there's all this fanfare, like they've been waiting for this to happen for a really long time. And the marching band shows up, and the ROTC cadets and the color guard, they all show up to sort of, like, play me out of the building, escort me out with all the pomp and circumstance I apparently deserve. And we get as far as the main hallway, and then everybody just scatters because the hall monitors show up. And it's just me and the monitors, and I keep walking. And they ask for my hall pass, but after a couple minutes, it becomes really clear that by asking for a hall pass, they've exercised their full authority. So they say, "You better not leave." I walk out the door. From the doorway, they shout, "You better not leave campus." I leave campus. And they keep shouting, but I can't hear them anymore because they can't leave high school, and I can't. And then I wake up. Now, I'm in my early 20s. It's a weird age, as maybe my dreams would indicate. It's an age of existential crises and paralyzing life decisions. But there is one inherent victory to being my age that I didn't fully appreciate until I had this dream. You don't have to go to high school anymore. So in a small way, you've already won.
Very good. All right. Excellent. All right. You know, school it was a great story. Thank you.
Thank you.
I love the way that you tell your stories because I have to tell you, they're so natural. They unfold so conversationally. They get me thinking about stuff. I'm thinking about school, you know. Two memories come to mind. One is, you know, peeing my pants in kindergarten next to Debbie Leonard. That was embarrassing, especially since I went and saw her every year until I graduated from high school. Yeah. That was one bad thing. But, you know, I remember my third grade teacher becoming very upset because we were required to buy a box of the 16 Crayola crayons. It was required, and I bought the 24, and she was upset because I didn't follow the rules.
And my
response was, "Well, you know, I think there's probably room for pastels in the world," which I thought at the age of 8, I thought that was a pretty good statement, don't you think? Okay, but yeah. She didn't find that to be at all interesting. "Well, I told you to buy 12 and not 16. I said, "Well, you know," I'm thinking to myself, "would you please get a life," or whatever we thought about in 1959 or however old it was. But, you know, dreams are scary. I have terrible dreams. I mean, I don't know if this is a normal dream, but I have dreams like an elephant driving in a Volkswagen backwards, honking at my mother while I am making a living raising attack beagles. I mean, is that something that you ever experience at all?
Probably, yeah, I don't think there's ever elephants or attack beagles.
I wonder what Carl Jung would say about that. I am woo woo cuckoo.
I believe Carl Jung would say, "Get away from me, get help."
I think he really would. Well, this is Dr. Hank and Roxy, and you are listening to writer and mothfeller, who's pestering us, Brendan Bork-Scheel on So What's Your Story, only on listener sponsor KPFT 90.1 Houston or KPFT.org for those of you using that avenue, but whatever road you're taking, we are really happy that you are here. Happy, happy, happy. Roxy, tell our listeners what will really make them happy, please.
Happiness is getting to the Houston Storytellers Guild's monthly story swap. It's the place to learn to tell stories while hanging with the most supportive people in town. Monthly swaps are held the third Tuesday of every month from 7 to 8:30 p.m. at the St. Andrew's House, located at 1811 Heights Boulevard, and check out Houston Storytellers Guild's site at www.houstonstorytellers.org for all the fun happenings, like their Liars Contest on Saturday, April 5th. and visit us on our So What's Your Story Facebook page for great information about storytelling, and please like us on the way out.
Thank you, Roxy. Yeah, that Liars Contest really does rock. That is a great, great, great event. And get online and take a look at that, because we have that at HBU, Houston Baptist University. They are wonderful sponsors, and they're very kind to give us a great auditorium. But, you know, that is a fun, fun show, and you would really enjoy it, even though you write about truthful things. You know, I think you could probably lie if you really tried, couldn't you?
If I really wanted to.
I think you could probably do that, right? Absolutely. Now, to get us into the Deceptive Spirit, award-winning Texas teller Sheila Starks Phillips will be teaching us to lie on April 3rd. Now it's time for a tip for the teller when I pretend to know something about storytelling by answering a question sent in by one of our listeners. And who will I confuse this evening, Roxy?
Callie from Sugarland says, "You're hilarious."
Yeah, right.
And wants to know the difference between a story and a narrative. She says you seem to use the terms interchangeably.
Do I, Callie? Huh, that's a stupid thing if I do that. Right. Well, all right. It's only to get insightful people like you to write in. That's really the reason why I use them interchangeably. But story and narrative are not interchangeable, and I apologize for sounding as if they are. A story is a sequence of events, and a narrative recounts those events in spoken or written form. But it's not the story itself. Narratives can be personal or published. Telling the story of Cinderella is a narrative, as well as is telling the story of your first birthday. In short, a narrative is the retelling of a story, your attempt at bringing that to life. And I hope that makes sense, Callie. You're an active listener, and I sure do appreciate the chance to clarify essential points about storytelling. And we are committed to educating as well as entertaining on this show. So, Roxy, tell everyone what they need to do if they have questions, please.
If you have a question you want Dr. Hank to answer on the air, or would like to be a guest on So What's Your Story, send your name, contact information, question, or story idea to ruby.story@gmail.com. That is ruby.story@gmail.com, and we will get back to you.
Okay, thanks, Roxy. Now, we have an English person here. Is that an adequate description between a story and a narrative? Honestly.
I think so.
Okay. What do you mean you think so? Don't you have a degree in English? You went to the Texas State University, did you not, in San Marcos?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did you really go to class there?
You know what is terrifying?
People don't go to classes there.
That is maybe true.
Yeah.
What is terrifying is being assailed about this on the air.
Really?
Telling someone you're an English major and then having them ask you English questions.
Yeah. Well, I didn't mean to put you on the spot. I just thought that one of our people who graduate from an American college or university with a degree in English would certainly know the answer of, distinguishing between a story and a narrative. But, you know, what you're going to learn to do is to say something like, well, you know, hey, that's a really good question. And I think that given the minimal amount of time that you had, you clarified that, you delineated the two very thoroughly. And frankly, I might be able to offer an insight or two that might enhance that response. But what you did was pretty stellar. That's how you answer me. What's the matter with you? Don't you ever, that's how you have to respect your elders, you know what I'm saying? Roxy, you're going to be at the helm next week. I know that you're taking Paxil right now. You're such a nervous wreck. But you're going to be okay. And you are hosting Liz Rodwell, another moth teller. Right?
Yes.
She's a doctoral student in anthropology.
Yes.
She studies King Tut. You know that. It's a story about a man all wrapped up in himself. Did all of you know that? It's really archaeology.
Yes.
I just had to say that. In any event, tell us a little bit about her. A little bit.
Well,
a little bit.
she is really unique, and most of her stories I've come to find out, she spends a lot of time in Japan.
Yeah.
And most of her stories that she tells, she's like Brendan in the sense that she likes to tell stories that happen to her a lot. And most of her are stories about her either traveling to Japan or while in Japan, which is just very exciting because I don't know too many people who spend a lot of time in Japan. And so I'm super excited about it. So it's going to be good. It's going to be good. It's going to be a good little change of pace. And
Do you know what she's going to tell her stories about or what, you know? What
well, which doing? Is a fear of mine, actually two fears of mine. Someone who took her computer from her. she's going to tell a story about that. And as a doctoral student or as a student in general, getting anything stolen from you is very scarring. And also she's going to tell us a ghost story as well.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
it's going to be good next week without you.
I see the connection. Let's see, a computer missing and a ghost story. Yeah, yeah. Seems like a person who has no idea what she's doing, meandering from one point to another without any apparent destination.
Hey!
Just like we do very well. We like taking people on a fanciful journey into the unknown. Rossi, let me ask you, the same thing that I asked you last week about Rabbi Sheinkopf. What impressed you about Brendan? Now, I know he's sitting right here, but you seem to be a relatively honest person. So tell us, what was it that impressed you about him at the Moth? What did he do?
Honestly, I believe it was his...
No, not honestly. No, I hate when people do that. Honestly,
sorry.
Frankly, now I'm going to be honest. I lied a moment before, but yeah, of course, honestly.
It was his tone. It was his tone in which he told his stories, and mm-hmm. I believe that the story of him calling 911 at such a young age is, I will confess that I've probably called 911 when I should not have. And that was such a relatable story, and the way he told it made it that much funnier. And I really enjoyed his, I don't want to say vocal variety, but the tone in which he told his stories made it very real, made it that much more funnier for me.
Why don't you want to say vocal variety? You have a
because,
problem with
I mean,
that?
No, it's not, right. I don't want to say, like, I feel like I have a lot of overdo vocal variety,
yeah. uh-huh.
but he uses the same kind of steadiness and consistency in his, and I think that makes it funnier.
You know, Roxy's sounding better in the last few weeks. I think she's drinking that energy stuff, the stuff that you feel in a matter of minutes, because she doesn't wake up till 8 o'clock at night every day. So
that's true.
She really sounds very, very good. Brendan, now you've been on the show. We're almost done. What do you think? Not bad?
Not bad. You know, when you...
Well, try not to sound too excited, because we can't take that.
When you say yes to a show like this, in this day and age when everyone has access to recording technology, mm-hmm. you don't know if you're going to be on a well-produced show or if you're going to be in the bathroom of a Burger King talking into a portable mic. So
right. uh-huh.
it's very nice that this show is the former, and I feel privileged.
Thank you.
Burger King.
Very good. Right. You can have it your way. Thank you. So I do appreciate that. That means a lot to us because obviously we take this very seriously. This is a great show, and we have great guests just like you. Any final thoughts? Any gigs coming up? Anything you want us to know about?
I'd just like to say thanks to the Moth for being a great venue that got me started with this.
Yeah, thank you. And Moth is a great venue. Roxy's going to be out there in April and try to find some great tellers just like you. This city rocks. You know, we've got some great venues, great storytellers, wonderful artists just like Brendan. Thank you, Brendan Bork-Shield, for your passion for story, ways with words and wit, and for gracing our studio tonight. Thank you, Roxy, for your attempt at humor, your sense of timing, and for being intuitive enough to invite tellers like Brendan to be our guest on So What's Your Story? Don't miss Roxy hosting next week with guest teller Liz Rodwell. Stay exactly where you are because Scooter's up next with the inner side to complete the back side of this Power Hour at KPFT. Make 90.1 a part of every day and make it a habit to tune in every Thursday at 10 for So What's Your Story and ease into the weekend right. Keep loving a great story, and I'm going to keep bringing them to you and be good to each other. I'm Dr. Hank, reminding you that it is never too late to live happily ever after. Good night.